You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I have the pleasure of having our drone news specialist, Haya Costello from Drone DJ. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Welcome. Thank you very much. How are you today?
I'm doing great, my friend. Doing very well. Very excited about all the news in the industry today. How are you?
Very good. Very excited, actually. I think today's a big day with the DJI Mavic 2 and Jewel that has now officially been announced by DJI. I think that's big news.
Yeah, the Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual is actually, I'm glad that we almost called that last week. We called it with the thermal. You know, we talked about, look how low the thermal image is showing the Osmo Pocket, and that thermal imager had to be really small because the perspective of that image was so small as well.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this, well, in my opinion, this may actually be one of the biggest drones for DJI to announce this year. I mean, to put a thermal camera in a DJI Mavic 2 that's, we all know, is lightweight, it's pocketable. I mean, any fire department, police department, or first responder should be able to afford this drone. To get that in their hands in much larger numbers, I think is going to go a long way in helping to save people's life in emergency situations. So I'm very excited about this announcement today, and I think this may well be the biggest drone of the year.
It could be the biggest drone of the year. But in pre-show, we were talking about, is it the Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual or the Phantom 4 RTK? Which is the bigger drone? And it begs a good question, but I'm sure a lot of firefighters and police officers out there are wondering, well, is the Mavic 2 thermal camera or the Mavic 2 Enterprise Thermal or Dual, excuse me, is it going to have a large enough thermal sensor? Because there are other drones out there like the Unique H520. There's another dual thermal camera. I forget. It's some Chinese company. I forget the name of it. But a lot of people have said, you know, those thermal sensors are not providing us with enough data. So how is the Mavic 2 Dual different? And I think the difference is because it is a dual camera and it utilizes the FLIR MSX technology. And that FLIR MSX technology, what it does is it overlays the two images. So it's using thermal and EO, which is just a digital camera, electrical optical. And what it does is it overlays those images so we get much better information in our thermal image, which I think is really going to be a huge factor for police departments and even commercial roofers. I mean, I think DJI might even disrupt their own Matrice 200 series product with the Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the Matrice with the X-T2 is a much more expensive package than a DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual is. So to bring down the price, to also get it into a drone that's not as imposing perhaps on people as a Matrice 200 or 210 would be, this is a drone that a lot of people are probably already familiar with. Now equipped with a thermal camera, I think that makes a big difference for first responders.
It does make a big difference as well because they added the accessories with the dual camera. So you can have the dual thermal camera and have the spotlight and have the speaker and have that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a really powerful package together. And what they're also doing is making it so much more efficient and convenient for first responders, public safety officers, to actually carry around this super small drone to be able to go out and do this work. It's truly exciting.
Yeah, and this is something that we weren't quite sure of last week as to how and where that thermal camera was going to be mounted on the drone. But I think by just replacing the normal zoom camera and the gimbal and putting this in place, I think it's the best solution that DJI could have gone for. So I'm very excited to see what the route that they've picked.
I couldn't agree more. And just to clarify for everyone listening, the specs on that camera, it's a 1/2 sensor shooting 4K 30 at 100 megabits per second. The Mavic 2 Dual Enterprise does not have any zoom on it, just to clarify, no optical zoom. And then the thermal camera is a 12 pixel pitch thermal camera. I believe it's a 160 PI sensor, but with the MSX, it's making a big difference. With that being said, what other topics are going on in the drone world today? Like, I know there's a lot going on in Europe. What do we have going on?
This started late last night at Gatwick Airport, which is one of the biggest airports in London, I think only, or in the UK. think only Heathrow is actually more busy than Gatwick. Late last night, one or possibly even two drones were flying near the airport and even over the runway, and as a result, effectively shutting down all the airport operations. And then around 3 a.m., not New York time, but here in Europe, they reopened the airport. Only for about 45 minutes, and apparently what happened is that people who were flying these drones so close and over the property of the airport had relocated and brought those drones back into the air. So as a result, they shut down all the airport operations again. I read online in one of the British newspapers that they were about to transport 110,000 people or passengers today in 7,600 different flights. Now, of course, you can imagine if you shut down the airport and you have this many flights planned for today, right ahead of the holiday season, that just causes mayhem. And the police are already involved. Now they've asked for the military to get involved as well. And as of yet, they still haven't found the drone pilots. They do know that these were not ordinary consumer drones. They were more of the industrial type. Now, that still leaves open a lot of different options. We don't know exactly what kind of drones were used. What we do know, of course, DJI recently introduced geofencing 2.0, which is a geofenced area around the airport, but it's a three-dimensional system that now also reserves space for the takeoff and landing approach zones in an airport. So most likely, a regular DJI consumer drone would not even have been able to get near this airport. However, we still don't know exactly which drones were used, but I'm sure that's going to come out soon.
Have you heard anything concerning a deliberate attack? I mean, to come back, and I mean, I don't even want to use the word attack, but for someone to go fly by the airport and then come back and do it again, not only does it cause mayhem, but it causes millions of dollars. Think about all the jet fuel being used for people to just circle and circle and circle. Now, I know that most airliners do account for that and have extra fuel on board, but after a while, you can get in serious, serious issues. And I'm really disappointed to hear that someone is utilizing this technology, which, like fire, can be used for good or bad. But at the same time, I hope it wasn't something deliberate. I hope it was something that, you know, some kids are just trying to test the system. I don't know what it is. Frankly, it's disappointing, and it's costing millions of dollars and potentially lives. And I think drone pilots have a responsibility to understand that even though they feel safe on the ground flying their drone, imagine how you would feel if you were in an airplane and a drone hit your plane or something happened, which I know recently there's an alleged incident down in Mexico, which we'll talk about here soon. But that being said, we have a responsibility as drone pilots, and that's why, you know, we started Drone U, which is to get the right information out to promote safety and responsibility between drone pilots. And this is a clear step back, and we need to, as a community, I feel like, you know, try to help out in any way that we can with the operations and the public safety operations in Europe right now, and in the UK more specifically. But it's really disappointing to hear. In other drone news, talking about drones and airplanes, it looks like there was an issue this weekend with an Aeromexico flight in Tijuana.
Yeah, there was actually. And it was very interesting because if you look at the damage of this, was actually a Boeing 737 passenger jet that, as it was approaching the landway or the landing zone, it was apparently hit by something. And the photos of the damage to the nose of the airplane show significant damage. There's a crash. I mean, typically, if you have a bird strike with an airplane, you would see feathers, you would see blood. And in these pictures, none of that is shown. However, they also, as of yet, have not found any parts or components that would belong. So as far as we've been able to find out by reading the latest research that came out, there has not been made a determination whether this was a bird strike or, in fact, a drone strike. In the past, there has been research as well that if previously bird strikes have occurred to the cone section of an airplane, then it may still cause damage later on. I guess the cone may initially still be intact, but it may still then implode at a later point in time. However, in this case, we don't know whether this was a bird or a drone. Hopefully it's not a drone, because this would not do us any good, of course, as drone enthusiasts. But the latest word is not set on this one yet.
Yeah, it's really interesting. In fact, that 737, I really want to know if it's a 737, 700 or 800, just because those planes do have some significant difference between the two. But the nose cone, from what I understand, is not that different. Another comparison that I've been seeing, Haya, is this Aeromexico flight in Tijuana and a 737 drone collision in Mozambique, Africa. And, you know, people have said, look at the comparison there, which we know is a confirmed strike, and let's look at what's going on in Aeromexico. Can we gather any information, or can we compare that one incident to the other incident? And I think the verdict is still out on that. And if I understand it correctly, I think that there will be a significantly more testing on this particular incident to see exactly what happened. So I'm interested to see exactly what turns out of the Aeromexico flight. What else do you have for us this week in drone news?
We have the batteries for the Inspire 2 and the Matrice. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, we heard the first initial reports from police departments in England again, saying that there had been issues with drones coming down from the sky, and it seemed to be related to a battery problem. Then DJI later out came out with an official statement saying that this was related to a part supplier and that they were working with the supplier to mitigate the situation and come up with a solution. Now, since then, they've released two firmware updates, and the latest one was released yesterday that addresses the issue with the TB50 and TB55 batteries. They do state in this statement that the issue has not fully been resolved yet, but as they're working towards a solution, at least they've been able to reprogram the batteries to work more safely.
Very interesting. It's I haven't updated my firmware on my drone in quite some time because I've never had that issue. In cold weather, most pilots need to understand, in cold weather, even though the batteries may be self-heating, you've got to keep the batteries warm. You've got to ensure you're always watching voltage. We talk about this in our Don't Crash course. There's this magical number, Haya. I'm pretty sure I told it to you even at the NTSB training. Always have voltage on screen and watch for 3.6 volts loaded and do a battery test when you take off, right? Take off, ram the elevation. Where does your voltage go? If it falls below 3.55 volts, probably shouldn't be flying that drone. But I'm glad that they've come to a solution to that finally, because there have been a lot of people who have been having significant problems with the Inspire series and those batteries as well, and the Matrice 200. They're just literally have been falling out of the sky. So I'm glad to hear there's a solution to that. But it looks like we've got some good drone news, as drones are delivering vaccines. Is that correct?
Yeah, let me move on to that one. There's a group of islands, and it's very stretched out. I think it's like 83 different islands over about 1,000 miles. And this is all far out into the Pacific Ocean. It's the island group of Vanuatu. Not sure if I pronounced that correctly, probably not. But anyway, it's one of those situations where drones and be able to deliver goods with drones makes a lot of sense. Typically, they would use skiffs to move from one island to the other, but this is out into the ocean, exposed to big waves, and to be out in a small, narrow skiff is not always possible. In fact, it can actually be quite dangerous. And even when you're on an island, to get to one side to the other side, from one side to the other side, you have to get through pretty tough terrain, pretty mountainous, as I understand, and also there's a lot of rainfall. So even those trips on islands can take quite a bit of time. Now, what happened here, and this was in a partnership with UNICEF, is that they started to using drones to get those vaccines delivered to the different islands and also across those islands to children. Apparently, in the age group 0 to 5, there are about 35,000 kids, and 20% of them are not getting their vaccines right now because people are just not able to get those vaccines to these kids. Like I said, trips by boat are often not possible and also too expensive. So they've turned to drones, and there's an Australian company called Swoop. They have a very interesting drone. It's able to do vertical landings and takeoffs. So first it takes off vertically, and then once it reaches the desired height, it just flies away horizontally. In African countries, Zipline has been very successful as well with making deliveries of medication, also blood transfusions. But their drones are fixed-wing drones that only can fly horizontally. So they're launched by catapults. They don't land to deliver the medication. They just drop it with a little parachute somewhere near where it needs to be delivered. The drones from Swoop seem to be quite a bit of step up because those guys actually land and they're able to land very precisely in a 6 foot radius. So this initial test, they flew, I believe, over 30 or 40 miles to get to the other island and then position drop basically or land the vaccines for a nurse to then administer them to kids. I think that's an amazing article and it's great to see that drones are being used for good purposes as well, especially on a day like today.
It is good to know and remember that drones are being used for good. And it's also great to understand that drones are being used to help people as far as health is concerned, because obviously living in remote areas can make being healthy extremely difficult and even at times life-threatening. Oh man, it's good to hear that. What other news do we have that may be good as far as providing access to drones in maybe farming industries?
That's good news too, but that's a little far away from where we live, unfortunately. DJI launched a huge agricultural drone. It's called a T16, but so far they've only released it in China, apparently. We don't quite know whether this drone and if this drone is going to make its way to the Western European countries or, let's say, the countries in North America or even South America. I mean, of course, there's a lot of agriculture going on there as well. We have to do with weight limits and restrictions for large. I think in China, those rules may be a lot more flexible. This is a huge drone. It's able to take on board 16 liters, so that's what's more than 4 gallons worth of pesticides, or as they call it, plant protection fluids, which I think is a nice way to put it. It's a huge drone. It has a ground radar system that allows the drone to follow the terrain. So if you're in hilly terrain, let's say you have fruit trees. The drone is able to follow the terrain as it goes up and down, and also it only sprays when it's actually over the top of a tree. So this drone is able to do high precision application of these plant protection fluids. Again, we don't know if and when it's going to make its way to the US. However, to see these kind of drones being used in China is pretty amazing, I have to say.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, it'd be really interesting to see how those drones would affect wine country in Napa Valley, because that terrain awareness would be really useful in a lot of those hilly areas.
Yeah, another interesting thing with this one is that in one of the video clips that came with the launch of this drone, DJI advises you to use the Phantom 4 RTK drone to actually make a precision map of the area that you want to use the plant protection fluids for. Then you upload that to the T16. You have this high precision map, and then you fly that massive drone to apply the fluids, which I think is pretty high tech.
It is pretty high tech. I wonder though if they could utilize something like Maps Made Easy terrain awareness, because they're actually using the geoid model from that state plane coordinate system to say, hey, this is what we think the terrain is, and that's what we're going to use to essentially follow the terrain. So they're really going precise by asking you to map it first. I wonder if you'll be able to utilize any of the GIS systems that are out there to maybe run this without mapping your farm first, because that could definitely be a task in itself.
How about DJI Terra?
DJI Terra, there you go. There you go. There's it's really interesting. I mean, are you saying that DJI Terra is essentially going to be the intermediary between drone mapping of the field and then other aircraft, kind of like becoming the Caterpillar autonomous system?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know DJI called it during their AeroWorks convention. They said that they wanted to map the world with drones, obviously. I can see them using DJI Terra for many different purposes. I mean, we know it's going to be a subscription-based model, should be launched in Q1 of 2019. It's going to be interesting. Actually, I'm currently in the Netherlands, and the DJI Terra offices are not too far away from where I am. So hopefully, I'll be able to stop by later this week and see if I can get some news on this.
I look forward to you reporting back on that greatly. I really look forward to that. It's very interesting because, you know, we've got a show coming out soon on where do we see the future of drone technology. One of the things that I said is I think it's going to be pushed by health and engineering, and mapping is going to become essentially an onboard function of the drone. I mean, drones are already have crazy computing power on board already, at least the DJI series does. And with that, I think that we could see DJI Terra being, you know, that essentially integrator between all things. How else would they competitively place themselves in the market?
I think this would be a great way to do it. And DJI Terra would kind of tie all those different aspects together. I think it's smart. And we know already DJI is smart when it comes to bringing out new product to the market and coming up with new solutions. I mean, we've seen it now with the DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise Duo. We've seen it with the Phantom 4 RTK. It wouldn't surprise me one bit, to be honest.
I would say I'll halfway agree with you that DJI is good about putting products out. I wish DJI would have put the Mavic 2 Enterprise out either at Airworks or during the DJI Osmo Pocket release. I think that would have made a little bit more sense, but I'm sure there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about, as we call it, the black swan that was affecting that decision. So
probably there's probably a lot more going on than we know. What I've heard though is that we'll be able to see and get our hands on the DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise Duo during CES 2019. And we've also heard that mysterious remote controller called the Pro remote controller with the crystal sky screen should also be at CES. So hopefully we'll be able to get some hands on at that point and see what this drone is like in real life.
I'm also going to be interested to see if they kind of release or tease anything for the new Phantom, because seeing that new Phantom 4 RTK remote that actually has the batteries that come out of it, the crystal sky batteries, that's really powerful for some enterprise grade users. And it makes me wonder if they're going to do the same thing with the Inspire series or the new Phantom series. So I was originally not going to CES. I've been every year for the last 5 years, wasn't going to go this year, but after hearing about a couple releases that are coming out, we decided we're going to end up going. So we will see you there, and hopefully we can do a new show together, my friend.
That would be awesome. If we can do one at CES, that would make for a fun show for sure. As a last article that I quickly want to tap into before we end the show, probably, is the educational discount. Right now, DJI is offering another 10% discount on a number of their products for anybody with a .edu email address. So if you're a student or you have access to a .edu email address, then this may be the time to get your drones. It doesn't apply in all DJI products, but for instance, the DJI Mavic 2 Pro and the Zoom are in there. If you're in the market for a drone, then this may be the time.
Awesome, Haya. Well, thank you so much for bringing all of this drone news and more to the show. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of plays out with Gadwick. It's going to be interesting to see what plays out with the Mavic 2 Enterprise Duel. And I just want to say thank you again for coming on the show, my friend. Enjoy your holiday season, your Christmas in the Netherlands. Wish I was there with you.
Thank you so much. And same to you, everybody who's listening to our show. Happy holidays as well. Happy New Year already. And hope we'll see each other in Las Vegas soon.
Sounds good, my friend. Well, you have a great one. And guys, for everyone that's listening, thank you again for your support. We genuinely appreciate it. If you want to leave us a review, please do on Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever you download the show. That's going to do it for us today. You're listening to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.